Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
If you're a regular listener to the show, you'll know that we have talked at length about endometriosis over the past year and a half or so, hearing various different listeners' stories and talking about the access to services, the level of services that are available here in Ireland. Well, this month, March, is Endometriosis Awareness Month, and we want to talk about what has changed since we last spoke about it here on Lunchtime Live. Dublin singer-songwriter Ruth Ann Cunningham is with me on the line today, as is Fianna Fáil Senator Lisa Chambers, who's with us in studio. Ruth Ann, you've talked to us here, you've shared your story with us on the programme previously, but how have you been since? Like, how are you managing at the moment with endometriosis?
Hi, Andrea. Thank you for having me and thank you for talking about this very important topic again. You're amazing. So since we last spoke last year, I started having very, very bad pains again, to the point of I can now say it is like labour contractions because I've had a baby. So very much like labour contractions that don't go away. I was crippled with the pain, having to cancel work again, everything. I went back to my surgeon who performed the wide excision surgery in 2019, which was very successful. And I actually got diagnosed definitively with adenomyosis now through an MRI. He had suspected I had that when he went in to do the surgery. He could see the shape of my uterus. Adenomyosis is endometriosis inside the uterus. It's very hard to diagnose. It's very hard to treat because it's inside the uterus. So it was heartbreaking, but at the same time, I was happy to finally have a definitive diagnosis, because whereas the wide excision surgery was very amazing for my endometriosis, I still have these pains because of my adenomyosis. So the plan now is to finish having my kids and my family, and then I'll be getting a hysterectomy.
And that's the news since we last spoke, Ruth Ann, that you would have received. Yeah. And that's very, that's very tough. That's very hard to hear that.
Yeah, it's you know what? It's like my whole time of trying to get diagnosed with endometriosis, there was never anything seen on an MRI, ultrasound, blood test, nothing. It was always, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine, you're fine. Then this surgeon is the only person who listened to me, went in, did the surgery. I have an amazing doctor in the UK, helped me conceive and keep my baby. And I had a horrific miscarriage, and then I went on to have a child, and is helping me now with my fertility, and then has a plan for me. So in a lot of ways, I'm heartbroken that but this is the cards I've been dealt. But at the same time, I feel so lucky that I found a doctor who listens to me and who is giving me the proper treatment. And where my frustration lies now is that I want that same level of care and treatment and education for the women in Ireland.
Why is that treatment different in the UK? Because I know, you know, you're obviously from Dublin, you're now London based, but you know, in your early days, you would have gone to doctors here at home in Ireland and in Dublin and consultants, and now you're obviously living in the UK for some time, but there is, and that's something we've heard about so much here in the show, Ruth Ann, in the last year and a half, like there is a big disparity in the level of treatment here versus the UK.
Absolutely. I think first and foremost, my two sisters also have endometriosis. They're older than me and they received a very different type of treatments than I did. And it's interesting when we talk about it together and we compare. In the UK, there are wide excision specialists. They are specialist surgeons, which means that they can remove the endometriosis from anywhere. A lot of the time, the problem in Ireland is that we have gynies who are able to do excision surgery on reproductive organs, but someone like me who has endometriosis on the bowel, I need a wide excision specialist. So the problem is that women are going in, they don't know what surgery they're receiving. So they could be getting the ablation surgery, which is the laser one, which we know can cause more pain, can cause you having to have multiple surgeries, doesn't always get to the root of the issue, and that the gold standard treatment is the excision surgery. But we don't have enough excision specialists in Ireland. So it's the luck of the draw of who you go to. And so for me, I had to pay for private care, which I feel incredibly lucky I was able to do. But for a lot of women, they're on waiting lists for 12 months, even just for a scan. So there's the level. And also my consultant looked at me as a full holistic treatment of like physiotherapy, acupuncture, lifestyle, lowering inflammation in the body. It wasn't just the surgery. surgery. There's a lot of women you talk to in Ireland as well as who you say, oh, they say, yeah, I got a surgery. What surgery did you get? Oh, I don't know. Where is your endometriosis? Oh, I don't know. No follow-up, no reports. Whereas I was shown a video, photos, I got a full report of where exactly my endometriosis is. So there's such a ways to go in the medical community as far as helping these women get the adequate and proper care. Okay. And that's not to say that people aren't trying, but we have a ways to go. Yeah. And I think it's clear to see when you hear when women go abroad, the difference in care when we go abroad.
Fianna Fáil Senator Lisa Chambers is with us here as well. Ruth Ann, how do we increase the offering, the services that we're providing here, Lisa, to women, you know, like Ruth Ann, like many others living with endometriosis?
Yeah, thanks, Andrea. And just to concur with what Ruth Ann said, thank you for covering this because you've been one of the few journalists that has really gotten into the detail of this. And it's not the first time your show has covered it. So thank you for that. And it's always amazing to listen to Ruth Ann. Her story is incredible. It's one of the most severe cases. And, you know, we shouldn't underestimate what it takes to share your personal story and your private information.
Absolutely.
The hopes of improving things for other women. So credit where that's due. Look, as you know, I came into this. My sister has stage
that's
four.
That's right, yeah.
So up until she got diagnosed a few years ago, I had never heard of the word endometriosis. So I went through my teens and my 20s having never been aware of it. Given it's a condition that affects 1 in 10 women, the fact that I went through all of my schooling and never heard that word, I think that that's wrong and that's something that we need to address. Why are things different here to the UK? We are often behind, like we're a very small population, so sometimes we're missing specialist expertise because of that. That's not to excuse it. I remember taking this issue to Stephen Donnelly when he was the opposition spokesperson on health, going back a good few years ago when I first started working on this. And there was so little awareness of the condition. So we have come away, you know, come a good bit of the way in the country. We have a specialist endometriosis clinic now that was opened this term of government. But we're only scratching the surface. And what Ruth Ann said around the types of treatment available, you know, we're still offering mainly ablation, which is just basically burning off the endometriosis. It's not cutting out the root, which means you have to come back again and again. It grows back. You end up with scar tissue. You end up with more pain. And there's huge impacts on people's lives, just really debilitating chronic pain, missing school, missing work, fertility issues, and impacts things like osteoporosis, mental health issues. There's a whole lot of things that go with that. So we are lacking in specialist endometriosis surgeons that can do all of the work. And, you know, I'm not a medical professional, but if you have endometriosis on your pelvic floor, your bowel, you know, you need somebody with a level of expertise that can be difficult to access. And we know women are continuing to travel abroad for treatments to the UK and mainland Europe because they're not able to access here. So we've done a huge amount of work. And I think there's a different level of awareness with the specialist clinic and even training for GPs. But we were coming from quite a low base. So we have a long way to go yet. And that's what this month is about, Endometriosis Awareness Month. That's why Ruth Ann and I are doing this talk and doing me. It's to try and raise awareness because, you know, there's a lot of technology being developed to try. One of the difficulties with diagnosing endometriosis is that the only way really to diagnose is to get inside and
look, right? Yeah.
So it's invasive and doctors don't like to do it. There is technologies being developed to try and find a less invasive way of diagnosing girls and women. But the best way that we can help women to reduce that diagnosis time, which is about 9 years on average, is to educate and empower young girls and women to know what's normal about their menstrual cycle and to ask questions.
We're probably all in and around, I'd say, the one age here today. And as Lisa mentioned, Ruth Ann, like when I think back to my time in school, I have no barometer for what is a so-called, you know, normal period pain to get. Like the girl sitting beside me in the class, you know, would have been absolutely keeled over going to the hospital for injections for pain relief. But I had no knowledge of what is normal. And that I know is something you're trying to address or trying to change.
Yeah, we got together, Lisa Chambers and myself and my two sisters got together to do a talk, to develop a talk alongside experts. It's called Endo and Me. The Me stands for menstrual education, to get into schools and to educate young girls on what is going on in their bodies, their menstrual cycle, what's normal, what's not normal, when to go see a GP, what to ask the GP, what are the treatments, so that we're empowering young girls to know the information so that when they go in, they know what to ask. class, they feel confident there or with their parents, to create a cycle of support around them, lifestyle treatments that they can do to lower inflammation in their body, like just arming them with the information. Because like you said, I had never heard these words before. Mm-hmm. Why are we in our 30s? Why are we in our late 20s and 30s losing potentially some of our organs, losing ovaries, our fertility issues, and not having ever heard these words? It's actually shameful. And school is the time to educate these women, and they're not too young. And I wanted to read you a message that I got from a young girl the last time I was on your show, which was kind of the catalyst of why we wanted to get this talk out to schools this month. And it's from a 17-year-old. She said, "Hi, Ruthann, I'm 17 years old and suffering from such bad period cramps. No doctors will listen to me. And this year, I really need someone to listen because I'm doing my leaving cert. There was one doctor that referred me to the Rotunda Hospital 2 years ago. It took them a year to fit me in for a consultation. And when I got there, they did nothing, just talk to me. Next week, I'm going back to get the scan. It took 11 months to get this scan. I'm currently curled up in bed with pain, a hot water bottle, not even able to sit or stand or even lie in a way that I'm comfortable. My mom was listening to you on the news talk show and I was up all night with pain. So I listened to it at 6 a.m. this morning. Everything that you and the lady described is what I go through. I just want to say it's so inspiring, your story. I know I'm very young to be thinking about this, but I'm genuinely scared to be infertile because one day I would love to have my own family. Sorry. And it's nice to know that I'm not alone. This is real. This is my life and no understands." So anyone out there who's listening, who thinks that young girls are not being affected by this, listen into that message. Yeah, and that's just one of hundreds of messages I get from concerned mothers who don't know where to go, who don't also have the information. So it's time to educate our teens about what's going on in their own bodies.
So how, Lisa, is this this program in schools going to work? Like, because I'm sure, as Ruthann said, there's probably students maybe on lunch today listening in the car with their parents who have a daughter who's maybe, you know, dealing with endometriosis at the moment. Is it going to be in every school, or logistically how will it work?
Yeah, so that's what we want to happen. We want an education module that is in every school and delivered on an annual basis. But look, we're starting from, this is, I suppose, day one for us, where we're doing it this month.
It's been launched today.
Yeah, we're launching it this week, Endometriosis Awareness Month. We have an Oireachtas briefing tomorrow in the AV room, which I'm inviting Oireachtas colleagues to come in and listen to Ruthann, Dr. Hugh O'Connor and Kathleen King, who will present. Kathleen is the former chair of EAI a patient advocate. So it's just to inform the legislators and the policymakers about this issue, talk about the endo and me talk that we're bringing to schools. You know, we're starting small, we're running it in a few schools nationwide across all regions. And I know that other people in this, in the endo space, are working on education modules too. So there is a collective effort to try and get to a point where this is in every school. But it's kind of small steps first, get into schools initially, get some feedback from the teachers and students, and then take that information and that data to the Minister for Education and the Minister for Health and say, look, we think there's a gap in education. We think that this could be rolled out, and we think ultimately it will be beneficial to girls and women in terms of their healthcare. And I know, like, from the Minister for Health perspective, it's good for the country and good for the Department of Health if people are getting diagnosed earlier, because the longer this condition goes untreated, the more damage it does inside.
And the last thing we want to be doing is sending Ruthann and many others abroad to have to get treatment because they can't get it here.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's great to see the specialist clinics up and running, but what we need to do now is make sure that girls and women have access to those specialist surgeons that can do the excision surgery across multiple organs. And that's our next task.
The modules, I suppose, that will be taught in school, you know, effectively as part of this program, or as part of the Endo and Me course. Is there a certain age group we're talking to, or?
So the schools we've reached out to, we're kind of aiming at the transition years, just because they tend to bring in speakers anyways, and we just wanted to kind of get started and get the ball rolling. But look, that would be kind of worked out in time with the Department of Education and with the teachers to see where that's best place. We know the girls are getting their period as young as 9, so, you know, theoretically you could roll this out in first year, but then you probably have to just see where does it fit into the school curriculum and the time and all of that. So we initially kind of said to schools it probably would be easier for transition year because they might have time in their schedule, as opposed to asking for another class to be kind of suspended. So,
and is the idea, Ruthann, I suppose, that we're kind of, you know, we're talking to students and to girls and telling them this is what you can expect, and, you know, if it's anything beyond that, then maybe it's something else.
We've condensed the talk down. It's very teen friendly. So first and foremost, you're not getting a lot of medical jargon that you won't understand in big words. It's going to be basically the most vital information that teens can kind of digest, take home and be able to. And you know, this is the truth, Andrea. A lot of these girls may never suffer with this, but it's very important, just even as a friend, a partner, anyone, parents, to know the symptoms of a normal period, the symptoms of a painful period, and when it's time to go to your doctor. Because as Lisa said, early treatment, early diagnosis and early treatment is what is so helpful in this case and stops the condition from getting worse. So if we can get more people in Ireland diagnosed younger, we can get them treated younger, and then fertility and everything, they can go on to have, you know, hopefully nice, normal lives, being able to have children. Because the problem today is that if you're 9 years trying to get treated, it can wreak havoc on your organs and it can be too late for a lot of people. And I think we're all so sick of hearing those heartbreaking stories of people who wish that they had gotten diagnosed earlier. This is so that we're educating the women. So even if they're in the school and at the time they're not having symptoms, like me, I didn't have symptoms at 17, but I started having them later on.
Yeah.
I would immediately have remembered, oh, what was that talk or what was that thing I learned in school? And it would immediately jog my memory and it would have really helped me of knowing what it was. And I think in general, even with the menstrual cycle, how many people do you talk to that don't even really understand that? It's like, it's really getting it down to the basics of menstrual cycle health and knowing when it's time to go see a doctor for these pains. And also, Endo and Me is not just a talk, it's an Instagram page that we've launched. You can come, it's called It's Endo and Me, and you can talk. Me and my sisters are there to give resources, a source of content, information, so you can go follow us and there'll be lots of updates.
If for people listening, Lisa, that maybe, you know, their school isn't part of the pilot program as such that's been launched this week, but they want to get involved, who do they reach out to?
Oh, by all means. I mean, you can go onto the Instagram page, It's Endo and Me, that Ruthann just mentioned, or contact me at lisa.chambers@arockthis.ie. So we'd love to get to more schools. And look, really what we want to achieve is awareness, getting the word out there that no girl gets to their late 20s and hasn't heard the word endometriosis. You know, we're only two people, but we're getting started. We're getting the ball rolling. There are lots of other people working on this area as well. And I'm just, you know, having spent a good few years working in this space and advocating for endometriosis, I can see the change even in the last 5 years. Just the awareness
has gone up. Yeah,
it has, Andrea,
even in my time in the last year and a half here in the show and talking to so many of our listeners about it, like there is definitely, no doubt about it, increased awareness. That is what the month is about. You're going to hear much more about endometriosis over the next couple of weeks. But I know, Ruthann, you wanted to mention just the endometriosis conference that's happening at the end of the month.
Yeah, for any endo warriors out there in Ireland, you know, we really want to start having more community gatherings. We want to listen to your story. We want to help with support any way that we can. The EAI is hosting a conference on March 30th. You can go online. There are virtual tickets left. I actually think the event is sold out, but keep an eye for tickets. It's a free event. There's also an amazing endo march that's been organized for March 24th at St. Anne's Park in Raheny. I'll be there. I'll also be emceeing the conference, and Lisa will be there and Andrea, you'll be there, and we'll be doing a panel talk. There'll be lots of panel talks, people there with different supplements, different ways that you can get involved and be there and just be supported. So any endo warriors out there or anyone who wants to just come and get information, please like come along, or virtually, you can also join virtually.
Well, it'll be well worth a visit to that. Listen, Ruthann, thanks a million for joining us. Mind yourself and take care. No, Lisa, you just wanted to mention.
Yeah, thanks, Randy. And just in relation to the march on the 24th, the Dance Park, and that's been organised by Kathleen King, and just as many people there as possible, because the more of us that get out in the streets and advocate for this issue, could be your sister, could be your daughter, could be your wife, your girlfriend, you know, that helps to improve services, so everyone can play their part. So please do get out and support the events over the course of the month of March.
Good stuff. Listen, Senator Lisa Chambers and singer Ruthann Cunningham as well, thanks a million to you both for joining us here in studio today.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.